things that hurt the movement, and then they're just gone.
Is it like, is it intentional?
And they're not Christian. These people, so I, and analyzing the problem, they're not Christian.
Is it unintentional? They're not, are they, or it's intentional. So they're, are they trying to like sabotage the movement then? Is that?
Maybe. I mean, I think, but if you look at it from the perspective of evil, it's an attack by evil.
Sure.
Hmm. So I think that kind of more accurately sums it up versus sabotaging what we're doing. I don't know. Like everything that I've turned over to somebody else. I mean, we have a heck of an awesome leadership team. I mean, just dozens of people that, and then the volunteers and everything underneath that. And then, but you know, just the, every time, that's why my name is on that petition.
Right.
Because I don't want somebody else. They can't buy me. I don't care if they offer me $50 million.
Your opinion's not for sale. You're, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't care about money. And so anybody that I've had, you know, on another role that's a vital role has let down the movement.
Man. I didn't realize that it was that. I didn't realize that was that severe. It was that serious, like that, on that realm.
Now, it none of it was fatal, obviously.
Sure, of course not.
But it just made my job more difficult.
Obviously, because the movement's taken off.
Management.
Yeah,
yesterday I was on the phone, straight solid, different people for 4 hours. And then I finally had to grab my nephew. Hey, can you make me some oatmeal? I'm having low blood sugar.
I'm working hard here.
I mean,
yeah.
I like to stay positive, but my whole message from the beginning is, I'm working for Oregonians.
Sure,
they're my client, so I have a fiduciary responsibility to all Oregonians to see this job through to the best of my ability.
Yeah,
and that's what I intend to do.
Absolutely.
So what I've been doing is when there's a snafu or when there's a hiccup or when a catastrophe happens, I tell them about it. And because if you're my client, mm-hmm. you need to know everything. And yeah. you know what? And the people appreciate that. And they like it that I'm upfront and honest with them about what exactly is going on.
I think they do. And I really think this movement has a lot of appeal. Just my opinion, I think the movement has a lot of appeal to the folks that were surprised that Kate Brown's in office, that she was
Absolutely.
Elected into the interim. I was. I raised my hand to that. I was sitting back there. I remember where I was the day I found out. I'm like, who is she? What? And what is she doing there? Is she qualified? Does she have Oregon's best interest in heart? Who is this lady? But I also think that you appeal to the majority of people group that just would like to see her gone. But the question is, what's the validity of, what's the reality of her and the recall actually going through? I'm only asking to be a devil's advocate here because I believe that it needs to happen. But there are some folks that are of the belief, and you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But there are some folks who have the belief that, well, just primary her out.
Well, she's a lame duck anyway right now.
Right.
So do we want 3 more years of Kate Brown?
No.
Or do we want to? You know, well, obviously.
But is it the best course of action to try?
It is the best course of action
to spend resources and man hours to try to get her out by this method.
Well, I mean, you know, all of our supporters, we're getting. You know, I don't know. I haven't done an average, but it's just we the people stepping up. Might be $5. Might
be
10
we the
bucks,
people. That's the
bucks.
Name of this show, by the way. Hey, that's the we
I
the
know,
people.
Right?
Michael Cross and Curtis Crittenden on 105.3 FM KS. Yeah, no, I get. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
Toss that guy out there. If you're just tuning in,
I mean, you know, I think the average donation is like $30 or $40, and these are people that obviously believe in the cause.
Sure.
And we get so many people. It's amazing. And it touches my heart every time where I'm so glad you're doing this. They want to give me a hug, shake my hand. They bring over cold drinks, snacks. I mean, I've had perfect strangers just, you know, open up their house. Hey, do you want to stay at a hotel or do you want to stay at our house? And they feed me. And of course I want to stay in their home. Sure. I want to get to know these people. I mean, you know, we're in this together and
these are your
at
clients.
Like,
these are your people. Yeah. These are your folks. Yeah,
exactly. And I look at it like, you know, we've developed this camaraderie and it's like we're family. I mean, you know, at different times, you know, somebody's on the phone, just so emotional. I mean, just it's running a recall is interesting. Things happen in recalls and it's just like, it's very challenging.
Sure.
And it's my third successful recall. When I say successful recall, I mean the client was happy with the results.
So this is not your first rodeo with this.
No, I thought you knew that.
I didn't know that. Usually people lead with important information like that.
Well, okay.
When we start
because
hanging out.
I don't like to talk about it too much because it was – one of them was, you know, what was about 14 years ago. So, yeah, 14 years ago. Okay. Time flies, right?
Yeah, right.
And, no, I've done this a long time. I got arrested in Texas for getting signatures at a mall. You can look it up. Justia Law, Michael Cross. And don't mess with Texas, right? No.
Apparently not.
No, my thing was, it was First Amendment. You know what? I believe you need to fight for your rights. If you don't fight for your rights, then you can lose your rights. And so it's going above and beyond just knowing your rights, but fighting for your rights. And at this particular mall, this was in El Paso, Texas, and they did not have vote by mail. It was, you go, old school, you go to the precinct, here you are, you vote.
Oh, man.
They made them go to the mall to vote. And I'm like, and I mean, we're talking Texas, so it's sweltering heat. Nobody wants to talk to you out
humidity
in the sun.
And
if you
want to
get signatures, if you want to face-to-face with the people, you got to be in where it's nice and comfortable because they're not going to want to talk to you out in the sun.
No.
So it's like, all right, well, we want to be in the mall. And they're like, well, you need to leave. And I'm like, well, but isn't this where they go to vote? Well, yeah, but then we tell them to come here because if they want to vote, then they have to come here. And
wait,
I'm like,
so you can't
stand
there and have a conversation with people and you're...
Exactly. It's like, you know... No, you don't get to take the cream of the crop. You tell them, you know, you're a voter here. So it's like, you know, I think that, you know, first of all, private property rights are paramount. I get that. I'm not trying to, you know, interfere in somebody's business or, you know, step on toes like that. But the fact of the matter is, when you open your property up for voters to come in and vote,
I think
there's a certain level of responsibility.
It's a public forum, though, at that point. You open it up to the public.
Freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... it was just like, they told me to leave and I didn't, and I got arrested and no big deal. And then, no big deal. And from the standpoint of, I was out in a couple hours, it's a misdemeanor. It's just like, you know, it was kind of scary.
What'd they charge you with? Like disturbing the peace or
trespassing?
Something? That's it?
Trespassing. So I had a lawyer take it on for free. And over there, they have a 3-judge panel that decide constitutional issues. He took it on for free.
Okay.
He got one judge to agree with him. He considered it a victory, but of course I didn't, because you need 2 out of the 3 to actually win and have him throw your case out.
Right.
But anyway, you know what? I tried. Maybe if, whatever. I believe, you know, we got to fight. We got to fight.
I agree.
We gotta fight.
Well, I think there, honestly, to be honest with you, I think there are very few people out there, with the exception of some few of our friends that we know, that have the gall to get out there and fight. Because, you know, seriously, there are some trenches out there that we need to get in and fight. And sometimes you got to trudge through the you-know-what knee-high in order to get some results. And there are few people out there that are really willing to do that for the right reasons.
You're right.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're right. And I have an adage, and it's kind of harsh, but I think it's true. And I've had this for I don't know how many years. But basically, we get the government we deserve. So if people – I'm basically having to teach people, which is fine. I love it, how to become activists again. It's like, what do we do? You know, what we've been doing hasn't worked. These people we're voting in are selling us out. Corruption's unfortunately on, you know, both sides of the aisle. Yeah. It doesn't have a political party preference.
Yeah.
And it just depends on, you know, they've lost their essentially moral compass. And you know, so I think that, I don't know whether you know it or not, but back in the mid-90s, I was the state field director for Christian Coalition, Oregon Christian Coalition, which was started by Pat Robertson.
I was aware of that.
And all of those manuals and all of that stuff. You know, I'd love to find some of that materials again, but that was the whole thing. It's like, how do we empower the people to, you know, have these things, these good laws and make a good community?
I think a lot of it has to do with the education behind it. I think a lot of it has to do with how you're impacting your demographic and what people, unfortunately, the way voting goes a lot of the time in this state, and I know many others, it, especially in the blue ones, blue states,
yeah.
I think voting goes in the way of ill education. I don't think people really know enough to formulate their own opinions. And so they take on the opinions of the people screaming the loudest, which half the time ends up being the Democrats and the whole liberal movement going on right now and that whole community. And so I really think it has an impact. And you're right. We get the government that we deserve. But my rhetoric, my mantra that I haven't trademarked, by the way, but and it's maybe
you
not
have trademarked it?
Have not. Maybe not as clever as yours, but it's elections have consequences. That's my sort of rhetoric. And it's completely true. Do we get the government that we deserve? Yeah, because we're not willing to fight for it. Do we elect people into our offices based on information that we ourselves are uneducated about? Yeah, and guess what? We reap kind of what we sow there with that kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's you know, time involved. I mean, it's just thankfully our founding fathers, you know, gave us the tools in their, I believe, divinely led inspiration for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. And so we have the tools at our disposal. It's up to us to pick those tools up and actually use them, i.e. freedom of speech, things like that.
Sure.
And peaceably assemble. And because the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect different results. So we've been electing these yahoos into the marble nut house. They've not been serving our interests well, to say the least. And so if you want a better government, if you want a safer safer government for our children and future generations, then we need to step it up a little bit and we need to become more involved.
Let's look at what that would look like here when we come back. And if you're just now tuning in, I don't think we even introduced you yet. But ladies and gentlemen, Michael Cross from Oregon Freedom Foundation, thank you for being in studio again with us today.
It's great to be here, Curtis.
Good friend of the show's.
We just hit the ground running.
We just sort of hit the ground running, which has been great. And sometimes that happens in a live situation. But you know what? It's Saturday and I love it. We the people, we've been going great guns and been talking about a lot of different things. And something that keeps coming around is this whole recall Kate Brown thing, which you're the one of the patriarchs for it, and we want to delve into that. We also want to talk more about how we can get involved and how we can step it up, as you say, because I like that. I think we need to. I think one of the major hiccups that we have in our community locally is the inability to stand up and take a stand and be able to fight and have the education, the materials and stuff to do that. And the manpower. Honestly, it takes men and women and money and to make this thing happen. So we're going to delve into that a little bit. But Michael Cross from Oregon Freedom Foundation, the Flush Down Kate Brown movement that seems to be taking Oregon by storm. A couple different controversial opinions on the other side, which we're going to cover there as well as we move on. So thanks for being here.
Great. Great to be here, Curtis. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more We the People here on 104.3 FM KSLM. Stick around. We'll be right back. Anyway, welcome back, We the People. Curtis Crittenden coming at you here from KSLM Studios, here with my friend Michael Cross. We touched on this just before we went to break, and I kind of wanted to reopen it, if you will. You tell us a little bit about the movement that you guys started and why, and then we'll move on to a couple things and how we're going to step up our game and some things that we can do practically.
Well, so of course, Kate Brown's created this angst and basically a disaster for the people of Oregon. And I wanted to do something about it because this is not the kind of thing that you can run from. I mean, people talk about moving to Idaho or something like that, but you know what? They're doing the same thing in Idaho. So you got to draw a line in the sand at some point, and that's a decision that every person needs to make individually and decide, no, this is my home. I love Oregon. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to fight. I'm going to do what I need to do to protect my rights.
Kind of like it here.
I like it here too.
I kind of like
it's
it
beautiful.
Here.
I'm used to
it. It's home, man.
You know, so we started fleshdownkatebrown.com, but then, you know, that campaign's going to be over with in about, oh, we've only been at it for 15 days and it's 90 days, so about 75 days left on that campaign. So shortly after that, we created another organization called OregonFirstPAC.com. That's Oregon First PAC, acronym for Political Action Committee.com. And that actually talks about kind of what we're looking for in the future of Oregon and how just everyday people, anybody, can get involved and make Oregon a better place to live.
On average, how many people do you think that you're impacting on a regular basis? I mean, besides an outlet like this where we're able to interview like this and chat, but...
Well, I mean, so I was in the military, and so I structured this with a military structure. We have county captains in each county, and then it goes down to lieutenants. Several people have gotten promoted to majors, so they control several counties. Control is the wrong word. It's more of an organized. This is organic. I mean, but it's basically, it's an organized, organic kind of movement, which is wonderful. And so I just use the military structure because it works. And we're not a military organization at all.
Sure.
I mean, we're just everyday people.
Sure.
You know, it just helps identify leadership roles and things like that. And so I would say statewide, we probably, I mean, thousands of people every day. I mean, because of the reach. I mean, one of our people spun off and, you know, down in Douglas County and created a separate Facebook group, and there's 5,000 people in there.
Wow.
You know, as a result of the fires. And then yep. We got people motivated. We got people mobilized to start helping with the fire, victims of the fire and stuff. And people were stepping up. Hey, you know, we'll haul, you know, horses if you need, you know, out of there. I mean, so it's more than just, you know, it's what the people need on an everyday basis.
Lots of people aren't thrilled with her. There are obviously lots of people that aren't thrilled that Kate Brown's in office right now. I'm in fact one of them. But what do you say? And I'm honestly behind that. I'm behind the movement. I'm all for getting her out of office because I truly believe that she doesn't have the best interest of Oregon at heart at all. In fact, that's the furthest thing from her plate right now, given her more recent endeavors. But what do you say to the folks that really have a negative things to say about the movement? What do you say to the folks that really feel like it's ridiculous? It's a moot point. They don't think it should be moved forward with. They think it's a waste of time and energy and resources.
Well, I would say somebody that's saying that's out of touch. I mean, because wherever we go, we draw a crowd. I mean, there's lines. I mean, there's the majority of the people want this to happen. And you know, I mean, unfortunately, I brought up, I'm an elected precinct committeeman for the Republican Party.
Okay.
This is a nonpartisan movement, what I've created. And, you know, to be honest, I haven't been too happy with some of the leadership at the GOP. And I try and keep things on a positive note. But at the same time, you know, since I do work for Oregonians, they need to know exactly what's going on. I went to them back in May. And asked them for some floor time to talk about this recall effort, which I've been working on since February. And it's taken time out of I'm doing this full time. It costs me every month because I don't have an income right now.
Sure.
I refinanced my house.
Oof.
And I'm living on borrowed funds. So, which is fine. And you got me for the duration. But after that, I'm going to have to go back to work and make some money. you know, I'm like, hey, can I, you know, I want to talk about the recall. And the response back was, no, you can't have any floor time, and no, recalls don't work. And, you know, we don't want to waste our anything on that. I'm like, all right, whatever. So then I – and then I think they said, we need more notice. And so then I sent them a message for the next monthly meeting and then with notice. And the response back from the county chair was, we're not involved in a recall. I've talked to the at the state level. This was in June.
You weren't asking for their involvement, though, right? You were just asking for floor time.
No, but I'm leading up to something.
Oh,
so
okay.
So I asked him for floor time. And he goes, we're not going to give you floor time because we don't support the recall. We don't think you can do it. We don't think it can be done. And at the state level, it agrees with me, and we're not involved. The very next month, they're also filing a recall. You know, I mean, it was strange. And to make matters worse, you know, I said back in April or May, I said, somebody is going to file another recall. I mean, because from a candidate's perspective, look, you got to look at it like this. Here, we're just going to talk strategy here.
Got
for
about
a minute and a half. In a minute and a half,
do you want to come back and talk about strategy when we come back?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that, and let's pay the bills here. Thanks to Cherry City Massage for sponsoring this segment. And you can find Cherry City Massage there online on Facebook. You can find her on the Facebook page there and book her now, and also on Instagram. She's got some cool stuff going on there. Michael Cross from the Oregon Freedom Foundation and OregonFirstPack.com, no longer Flushed Down Kate Brown. But there is a petition going around as well, and we should be talking about that as well when we come back. But strategy and a petition when we come back, right?
Right.
Right. With We the People right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. I'm Curtis Crittenden. We'll be right back. So, coming back after the break, you said something while we were on break that your biggest headache and your biggest stopper and your biggest frustration with this whole thing is the GOP?
Yeah, why, that's correct. Why, are we live?
We're live right now. Yeah, we're back. Welcome back to We the People, Curtis Crittenden and Michael Cross. But you said that the GOP is, if they weren't involved at all, this thing would slip right through and be fine and go nuts. But are they blocking you? Is it like trying to recall a Republican candidate or something like that? Like, what's going on? Why would you?
I mean, I didn't want
to
delve into it too much, but
well,
but at the same time, I owe the truth to Oregonians, and I don't care. Somebody can ask me; they can ask me whatever. You know, I'm not a perfect person. I'm not trying to say I am.
Sure.
You know, anybody can ask me anything they want, and I'll give them a straight answer. So that's been the whole problem. I swear to goodness, we're trying to recall a Republican governor. I mean, from the attacks on me personally, from the attacks on the organization, on the various – they're harassing our people when they're trying to get signatures. They're harassing them at the point to where they're having to call the police. I mean, it's craziness. And I mean, the Baker County chair of the Republican Party has published – when I got arrested, as I mentioned, right. I was arrested, right. You know, and my mugshot picture, it was a good picture, by the way.
I'm sure. Just devilishly handsome.
No, but and my date of birth. So now I'm like, and this is out there. It's like, so now do I have to worry about identity theft? And this is coming from a GOP person, you know, and it's just like, I swear to goodness, sometimes we are trying to recall a Republican governor. It doesn't make any sense. So back in March or April, I had said somebody is going to file – back to strategy here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody's going to file a recall because from a strategy point of view, it's not your normal thing. A candidate – you got candidate A, you got candidate B. They go head-to-head. Best person wins theoretically or whatever, how that works. A recall is entirely different. She cannot really attack me or – but if it was indirectly, then
she could,
which is what's been going on. So, but here's the thing. There's several questions involved. Huh. if she attacks me personally, it makes her look bad.
That was my first question.
She can't do that.
Yeah.
And then the other point of that is you don't want to attack somebody that's going to be ineffectual anyway. They don't know if we're going to get enough signatures. I think we're going to get enough signatures. Right out the gate, we were averaging 5,000 signatures a day, which is 500 a day more than what we need. And, you know, so it's been tremendous. So, you know, she has to look at that, and then she has to look at – so really the only thing from the candidate's perspective that she can do – is talk about the good that she's accomplished. And, you know, that's woefully lacking, of course. So there's really not much that she can do there. So that's why I said back in March or April, somebody's going to file another recall, because if she knows there's this angst out there, obviously. So what is the solution? File a recall. But is it a genuine purpose? Are their intentions pure? Are they going to turn the signatures in? They violate the law if they don't turn the signatures in. But when has that stopped some of these politicians to violate the law?
It doesn't stop them.
So they do. No. So there's a recall going on.
So if you,
I'm not talking about mine. I'm just speaking in general. I'm not talking about the GOP. We're just talking just general textbook strategy.
But if you didn't file one, who would have filed one against her? I'm assuming, but
nobody would have.
No one would have.
The GOP has told me repeatedly, and everybody else repeatedly, that, and this is true. Historically, they're very hard to pull off because of the volume of signatures required. Now, I'm gonna just be honest here. The GOP doesn't have the horsepower to get that done. I mean, 4,500 signatures. You know, we for every 10 signatures we get, they're getting about one or two, and they're trying to scab onto our locations.
How many signatures are they really? How many signatures do you need? Is it 450,000?
No, what we need is 280,050, and because one's not valid and stuff like that. So I want 400,000 signatures.
Well, at 5,000 signatures a day, which is 500 more than you need, and you're 17 days into your campaign, you've got to be doing pretty well.
We're doing very well.
I mean, so there shouldn't be any reason why you shouldn't hit that goal in short order.
Correct. Correct.
Huh.
Correct.
Huh.
So the GOP says they're carrying our petition, but I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any.
It's,
I mean,
like
there's thousands
10-to-1 signatures, 10-to-1 you being
Yeah,
a 10,
I mean, there's thousands
one,
of
yeah.
signatures out there that yeah. I know they have, and I haven't gotten yet. Hmm. And I need those in my hand so I can turn them in.
Right.
You know, so I hope there's no sandbagging going on. I mean, you know, but that's why I said, as I, you know, going back, that she would have somebody file a recall. I'm not suggesting that she had the GOP do it. I'm not that conspiracy. But the fact of the matter is they did file a recall. Why not just dovetail into ours and say, Mike, I know you've been working on this since February. It sounds great. What can we do to help? Instead, they file their own separate recall. But what it's done is created confusion, a lot of confusion.
Sure.
They don't know which one they've signed.
Sure.
So it's going to cost our campaign $50,000 more in campaign funds, because now we're going to have to go through and check for duplicates.
Mind reels, though, and my suspicious side of me, my devil's advocate side of me, rises up, and I go, well, why would they do that? Because they're not dumb, okay?
They're not dumb.
They're smart enough to know that if they file the recall, that it would intentionally divide and intentionally confuse what you're doing and cost you more money. So why would they do that?
I think they dropped the ball. This could have been a golden opportunity.
So this could have been a joint effort.
Unite Oregonians.
Yeah, yeah.
Come together. We need to come together. I mean, the angst, the fighting,
it's been
all
Oregon's
that garbage
problem for years. We can't come together on anything.
But here, I'm going to give you this message that I get. I see this a lot. Hey, so I signed a recall petition in Yamhill at the Derby Days Parade. I'm hoping the volunteer is on this page, this is on Facebook, so I can find out if I sign the citizen's petition or the Oregon GOP one. I would like to know so I know which one I still need to put my name on. Thanks in advance. And I get these all the time. They don't know what they did. I mean, it's frustrating. But you know what? We're full steam ahead. We don't let it bother us, and we're not going to let it slow us down, and things are going great.
Well, I think the cause is worth it. I honestly do. And personally, I'm of the belief – I'm always optimistic, by the way. I'm that
Me
guy.
Too.
I'm always the optimistic guy.
I like it.
And I seriously think that with where you're at now, 5,000 plus signatures a day, you're only 17, 18 days into it or whatever, and you've got 70-something more days to go, you're going to blow right by that number.
That's just the ones we know about.
In just a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and this isn't counting the ones that you've gotten from the GOP that haven't come in yet.
They haven't come in.
Hopefully you're not getting sandbagged over that one, but whatever. So, I mean, I think it could be a worthwhile thing to pursue. I have to give play and hold my hopes, because I can't get my hopes up too high, because I haven't seen in my opinion, a successful recall would be one that actually...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but, and she's gone. This is just step one, Curtis.
Yeah.
And then after that, OregonFirstPack.com, we've got a lot of fixing to do in Oregon. And so that's what this whole organization is for, because after Kate Brown, we're not quitting there. We're going to keep pressing on.
Who would you put in office? I'm just saying that for the record. Like, who would you put in office?
What, to replace her?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now I'm focusing on, you know, of course, recalling her. I haven't gone to that length to extrapolate who might be a good replacement. I haven't put much thought into it, but there's a lot of people wanting me to run. Yeah. I mean, I've had that mentioned.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I don't. The problem in Oregon, I mean, for the last 20, 30 years has been, you know, these various candidates come up and they try and put a square peg in a round hole. And it's just, you know, and then they spend all this money. I mean, $18 million for a governor's race. That's ridiculous. I mean, give me a break.
That's a lot of money.
If it's going to work, it should work. It shouldn't cost that much money. And I mean, I've got a lot of good ideas. I think that people like my ideas. They like my drive, my energy, the fact that I can't be bought. I mean, you know, I don't care about that. I just want to save Oregon. And I mean, if enough people got behind it, I would consider it. But right now, it's not in my radar at all. I need to get rid of her because I care about Oregon. I love Oregon.
Well, first things first.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, first things first. I really don't. And I've said this from the beginning. The moment she took office, and I was shocked beyond belief, as many of us were. The majority of Oregonians were shocked. And I think that first things first, we need to get her out, obviously, one way or another there, legally, by the way. Don't misconstrue me. Don't mess with my messages. Don't try to edit me and say, we need to get her out of there by any means necessary. Don't do that to me. But honestly, I don't have anything against a woman personally. I think she's a great lady. And the last two times I met her, she shook my hand and, you know, thanked me for doing what I do. And I said, well, great. Thank you. Thanks for doing what you do, I guess. I mean, I have respect for you as a person, but, you know, I don't really, you know, appreciate your policies. And she goes, yeah, I know. Some people don't. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. La-di-da.
That's an understatement.
On the way we go. And she knew it. But, you know, honestly, there's someone better. Anybody, please. I want someone qualified. I want someone who has a heart for Oregon, who really has within their wheelhouse all the components to make Oregon great again.
Exactly. I mean, one of our things through Oregon First Pack that we want to accomplish, everybody knows. The homelessness problem.
Huge problem.
We are the wealthiest nation in the world.
Huge
we
problem.
Should not have a homelessness problem. And something has slipped through the cracks.
Something's gone wrong.
If that's going on, and then I heard they're busing them down to Southern Oregon.
Well, that was Chuck Bennett's idea.
Whatever. I mean, I have an idea for that. It was similar to the, you know, it was almost 100 years ago now, but the CCC, Civilian Conservation Corps.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, so they took out-of-work people. It was almost 100 years ago, and they had them building dams and stuff. So my idea now is, let's get some property over in eastern Oregon, which is a little bit more affordable, and have a big facility. First of all, get them off the drugs and alcohol. And I think we could do this at pretty much a revenue-neutral situation based on, you know, I know some things about real estate and stuff.
Sure.
You know, get them clean and sober. And then, I mean, let's face it, we got building contractors screaming for help. I mean, so a plumber's apprentices, I think they start out at like $15 an hour here in the valley up in Portland. I'm sure it's more. Electrical apprentices, you know, people like that. And, you know, I mean, it's just, and then help them with a job, get them trained and then get them into a job.
Let's round out that idea when we come back with more We the People on 104.3 FM KSLM. Michael Cross, Oregon Freedom Foundation and OregonFirstPack.com. Be right back. Stand by.
So,
all right, wrapping up hour one here. Thanks to everybody, by the way, who's sponsoring the show. Really appreciate everybody getting behind this movement. And again, We the People has taken off in a great way, and I'm super thrilled to be behind the chair here doing what we do. All I'm doing, all my goal is here is just to present some findings, present some truth, present some perspective, and just give you what's going on here in Oregon and some things that are relevant to where you're at now. And of course, not construed messages when we're talking about politics and things like that. Because what happens on a national stage, national level, like the debates that just happened last night, which was a quote unquote, you know what storm.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It was like Joe Biden this and Joe Biden, like everyone's just coming down on Joe Biden, like firing nukes at him like all night long. It was funny. But anyway, that's the goal. The goal of the show is to just make national, local, how this affects us here in Oregon. And when, by the way, what's going on here in Oregon and how that affects you right here on your block. And that's why Michael Cross is here today with Oregon Freedom Foundation and OregonFirstPack.com with a recall notice for Kate Brown there. And this is just what we want to do. We the People is just sort of a grassroots effort to try to organize and to try to wrap our minds around what's going on and how to stand up and how to have a voice effectively. So that's what the show is all about. So thank you to everybody who's gotten behind the show. And if you would like to help sponsor the show, I would encourage you to email me. My first name is Curtis, C-U-R-T-I-S, at KSLM.news. If you'd like to sponsor the show, you can always call the station here, 503-316-1220. And sponsor the show on a monthly basis or a gift or a one-time gift or whatever, what have you. We would love to share with our community of listeners and advertisers what you do and what your work is all about and how you serve our community well. And that's what this is about. And that's why we're so thrilled that folks like Michael can come in here and hang out with us and chat with us for a little bit. So you said something a minute ago that I want to kind of retouch on now as we're wrapping up hour one. And you said that one of the things – it's been on my radar is why I want to ask about the homeless situation, that mm-hmm. you think that it would be a good idea to take the homeless population and somehow ship them off to Eastern Oregon
buses.
Somehow in buses, train them, detox them, and put them to work for builders and contractors and stuff over there.
Absolutely.
How in the world? I mean, initially I like it, but two questions. A, how the hell would that work? And B, would you not be afraid of being labeled at – remember what Ocasio-Cortez did when she was down at the border and she was like, this is like concentration camps for the Nazis and blah, 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 blah. And how – like wouldn't you be afraid of painting a target on your back for like something like that?
I know what you're – you know what you're saying about that. And,
yeah.
and it is a legitimate issue. How I would counteract that is – faith-based people being there, multi-denominational,
yeah.
Get them involved and plugged in. I mean, they used to be, before we had Department of, the Child Services, the churches were doing that. I mean,
I think they should still.
You know, and I think they
Salvation
should step
Army
back in
is
and
one
do
of
that.
Them. They're huge.
Yeah.
They're the biggest in the country.
Well, I mean, why not? I mean,
why not have an organization
and
like
they could
that?
Do it for 25% of the budget.
Exactly my point.
You know
point.
What I mean? Just give them a little donation to the organizations that want to help with that, and it could be way cheaper and more effective.
I spoke with them because I've known several people that we've helped and sponsored go through their program successfully, by the way. They're incredible,
yeah.
Those guys up there. Military-like
yeah.
structure as well.
Yeah.
Super respect for those guys. And this is not a plug for Salvation Army. I'm just saying I was reviewing some of the books and stuff that we were going back and forth because of our partnership. I cannot tell you how loaded a nonprofit like that is.
Yeah.
Loaded. Loaded. There is no reason why we can't get a couple of them together and say, hey, this is a massive thing that we want to undertake. Yeah, it's going to cost a little bit of money, but the...
It's been a real mess.
But it's a mess.
It's
and
been a mess.
The only other issue that I could really think about it, I think, would be is all those folks. I don't know if you remember the statistic that was going on in 2016 and 17, where a homeless person panhandling could make almost $30,000 a year tax free by panhandling on the freeway.
I mean, the number I've heard is like $20 an hour. So
yeah.
What is that?
That's a fantastic.
I think it's more than $30,000.
It's a again, that
you
was
know.
Just that was a few
but,
years ago.
Well, the
but
problem with it is,
why
you don't
would
know.
They want to go? Is my point. Why would they want to go and work their butt off for minimum wage
well,
or whatever,
the
when they can make $20 an hour standing there with an iPhone on the freeway, you know?
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah, granted, some of them don't want to do that, don't want to work and stuff like that. But the bottom line is, it's illegal to camp in town. no camping in town. It's unhealthy. It's unsafe. It's unhealthy and unsafe for them. It's unhealthy and unsafe for the people that live in the town, Portland or Seattle or San Francisco.
Salem.
You know, defecating on the sidewalk. And then the businesses that all this nonsense is subject to, they're losing, you know, massive amounts of money. People don't even want to do there. It, honestly, it is a decay of society and it needs to be stopped or it will continue to decay our society.
I agree.
We have to address it. And, you know, I mean, so if somebody said, I get it, you know, some people are like, you know what, all that sounds great, learning a you know, a trade and going to work and all that, but I just don't want to do that. It's like, okay, well, then you're going to take care of the roses around the office and we're going to provide a, you know, reasonable housing for you here on the on the grounds.
Right.
I mean, something like that. And if somebody else says, well, you know, all that, I just want to be left alone. It's like, okay, whatever. We'll leave you alone, but you, it's – you can't camp out in town. If we catch you camping out in town, we're going to remove you.
I met a gentleman. I won't say his name, but he has literally been homeless for 10 years. This is his 10th year homeless. And I asked him that question. I said, why wouldn't you want – because you're a respectable guy. You're about my age. And I, you know, I have devotions with him every now and again. And I, you know, give him some coffee and hang out with him every now and again. But he's respectable. And he has the respect of some folks that are even around here in the local area. And it's like, why wouldn't you use that to your advantage and get a job and do something and start getting back on your feet? Well, he said in his words, I've been doing this for long enough that I'm just comfortable doing what I'm doing. And honestly, Curtis, I can make better money without having to be taxed and have to pay back all the debt that Uncle Sam incurred on me from like a child support order or whatever. And
I've been hearing that about the child support
stuff that he can't pay from a divorce that happened a decade ago. And, you know, he's just getting screwed left and right. And so he can't possibly go back to work because he'd get garnished for the rest of his life and all these other things because he owned a business as well. He owned a moving company for years. And so now he's been on the streets for a decade. And I said, well, what if someone were to just, you know, pay a living wage of some sort and had one of those little 4x8 little tiny houses or something on the property for you and you just help keep up the grounds. Oh man, yeah, that'd be great, but then I wouldn't be able to sustain or have the income or freedom that I want.
They'd start taking his garnishing
and
his money.
And they'd start garnishing my money.
There needs some debt relief.
What, you know, what is the
I mean, it's not right.
Forgiveness maybe
it's morally
after
wrong.
After a certain point or something like that, maybe something, I don't know.
I agree with you.
I get the hey, if you're in debt and you used it, you should pay it back. But if these are your circumstances now, and, you know, and it's been more than, I don't know what the statute of limitations could be on something like that, but like say 7 years, like a bankruptcy, there's no reason why the government needs to garnish your wages for the rest of your life and keep you in poverty.
That makes you a slave.
That literally makes you a slave. Literally. It's really sad. Anyway, I didn't mean to derail that whole thing, but good grief. You'd think that we could come up with something better. Anyway,
the other thing, I mean, you know, we want lower taxes.
Sure.
And obviously the beauty of Oregon First PAC is we've proven with this recall that we have the horsepower to pass statutory amendments, constitutional amendments. A lot of established organizations struggle with the 150,000 signatures required, including the non-valids, to pass a constitutional amendment. We could do that in 2 or 3 months.
Sure.
It's crazy. And you get anywhere from 6 months to a year and a half to pass something like that.
Got about a minute left.
You know? And, you know, so the other thing that really bothers me is the property tax deferral program. So I wanted to touch on that before we left for the day.
Sure.
And I don't know if we have time right now, but...
Not right now, but when we come back, let's kind of break into the next segment a little bit, and then I'll cut you loose, and we'll rock and roll with the rest of our day, but... seriously, man, really good. And it sounds like you guys have the horsepower and the manpower to make a huge impact here. And we're behind you.
Thank you.
And let's make a splash.
Got some great people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'd like to be part of that. We'll be back with more with Michael Cross here on We the People on 104.3 FM KSLM when we return. Don't go away. All right. All right, back at it here, We the People. Thanks for hanging with us through the break, folks. If you're just now tuning in, Michael Cross here is still with us for part of hour number two on We the People on 104.3 FM KSLM. Talk to me about the property tax deferral that you were just talking about before we went to the break at the half here. Where were you going with that?
Well, that's something that's been near and dear to my heart for 20, 25 years, because that's when I first found out about it. And when I first found out about the property tax deferral program, I was horrified because, you know, that's where basically an elderly person on a fixed income, they can't pay their property taxes. And so they're basically given a pass to that during the remainder of their lifetime, they don't have to pay the property taxes, but they accrue with interest. So then when the person passes away.
They accrue with interest?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so, I mean, you know, rather than it being willed to the family or, you know, a nonprofit organization, it goes to the government.
Ouch.
I mean, how ridiculous is that? I think after, you know, somebody's 60, 65 years old, they paid taxes all their entire life.
Yeah.
Why do they have to pay their taxes till the day they die and then lose their home? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. So I think there should be an exclusion for their primary residence. You know, we're not talking about, you know, vacation homes and, you know, businesses and stuff, but just your primary residence. I don't think, you know, if grandma can't pay the taxes, I don't think she should be forced to do it.
Well, what if grandma refinanced her home 20 years ago and is still paying it off?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know the logistics involved, but I think that, you know, with the combined debt, probably pushes them over and to where they lose their home. I just don't want to see people lose their homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it is sad. And then you end up in a nursing home or something or some state funded somewhere. And it's really, really a sad situation. I used to be a part of one. I used to work for one part time. And it was really rough. It was a rough scene.
Yeah.
Rough scene. No family members coming by to see him or anything like that. It was really, really tragic. Anyway, thank you for getting on that little tangent with me, letting me go off on that. But anyway, so last segment that you're with us here on the show on We the People, let's dive into a little bit more of the strategy, if you will, behind where we're at with your movement and what you would like to see accomplished in the next 74 days, because you've got about 74 days left in the campaign. And
yep.
Give me an idea of where you're at now and where you expect to be at the end of this.
Well, I think that we're going to be able to finish up early and
I mean, as many how many?
Yeah, I don't think we're
going
to need the whole 90 days to get the required numbers of signatures, as long as you know, the GOP is not sandbagging on us. But
sure.
No, my plan is we're actually hitting the road, and we're going to be in an RV going all around the state, you know, coast to coast. Huh. You know, head down the 101, visit some of the smaller towns I haven't been to yet.
Okay.
Give them materials, drop off banners, yard signs, the blank petitions, pick up the signed ones. Just go ahead and meet the people. A lot of these people I haven't even met. I mean, we're talking about, you know, thousands of people involved with this awesome movement, and I need to meet them. I mean, they deserve to, you know, we need to have a face-to-face conversation, and that's good, and that's healthy. And so for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be turning around, you know.
Yeah.
And then I go head over to Eastern Oregon, it's going to be fun. You know,
you're
taking my
today.
Nephew.
You're headed out today, aren't
today
you?
Today or tomorrow, yeah.
To pick up the RV.
You know, it depends on when we get packed up and get things
sure.
get things going. But my nephew's going to be with me.
Oh,
and
fun.
We're going to be doing a lot of live videos, and they can check that out on fleshdowncatebrown.com. And also, you know, on the Facebook, which is hashtag InvestigateKate. And we have a Facebook page also called FleshdownKateBrown. So, yeah, it's good stuff, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, nice thing, you know, we're working hard, very hard. I mean, some of these people, I got to slow down. You got to take a day off on Sunday. You know, you got to force them. Yeah. Okay, I will. But then they really don't sometimes. It's just like – but then it gets to the point where it's like safety. You know, I mean, I don't – obviously, you know, you need to get some rest. But these people are on fire. Their heart's in the right place, and they're right. doing awesome. They really
right.
are. And we're just, you know, we work hard and play hard. You know what I mean? We have fun doing it.
I get you. Well, I definitely think you've got the numbers for it. And so at the end of this thing, you say you're going to be able to finish up early, and that's per the number of signatures that you need. Are you going to stop at 280,050, or are you going to keep on going?
No. Our goal is to get 400,000 signatures, and that's a solid.
And you're on track to do that. I mean,
we're on track to do that.
500 ahead per day, it sounds like.
Yeah, 4,500 is what it averages out to, and we're over that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, that's fantastic. When do you think you'll arrive at that number?
Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I'd say we should come in a couple of days early.
Okay.
You know, at least.
Sure. Well, so you've got teams around the state. You've got
all over.
You've got every county. In every single county. You've got county captains
every
going
county.
On. So once this is wrapped up and in the can, you should be able to present a nice, tidy little package and turn all those in. And then what happens?
Well, if it's in the budget, we're going to take this, the sign, you know, the signatures. Every vote counts. I'm turning all of these in. And if it's in the budget, we're going to get a Loomis armored car to take him down to the Secretary of State's office, and we're going to have an army of volunteers carry him into the office, and we're going to verify they're going to be in a safe place until they get all counted and verified and everything. And if they need help in that department, then we have volunteers that can help make sure they're, you know, safe.
Sure.
Overnight and stuff, because we don't want them left alone, you know.
Right.
What I mean? And you know, and then, you know, and then I think she has 5 days or 7 days or something to resign. She's probably not going to resign. And in failing that, then the Secretary of State, I believe it's within 45 days, has to have a special election. And then once she's booted out, then it goes to either Tobias Reed or Bev Clarno. I'm not sure which. I get different answers on that. But I just want her out.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. So as far as it goes right now, there would be another interim governor in place until the next election.
Yeah. And then I think the next election to fill the governor's seat would then be in 2020.
Correct.
But, you know, I'm not sure on all that stuff. I'm knee deep in the strategy on this. And
at this point, the strategy kind of goes as far as anybody but her.
Well, at this point, my strategy is get as many signatures as I can. I want her out. And then beyond that, we'll go from there. But,
right,
you know,
right. Well, shoot fire. Well, anyway, just a couple minutes left here. Anything else that you want to leave the people with before we get out of here?
Just, you know, I'm really glad. And it's finally giving us something to look forward to here in Oregon. And for the longest time, people were just dejected and sad and depressed, and we didn't seem to have any solutions. Well, now we have a solution, and it's coming together, and it's really awesome. And it, you know, lots of people are praying for us and the movement, and me personally, and I can feel those prayers, and I know those prayers, and those prayers are appreciated. So please keep them coming.
Good. Good deal. OregonFirstPack.com. Find them on Facebook at Fleshdown Kate Brown. And the other Facebook page was at
the hashtag Investigate Kate.
Investigate
and
Kate.
And then that's the group. And then the page is Fleshdown Kate Brown.
Got it. All right. Well, so don't forget, make sure you go check those out and make sure that you can sign that. Is there an online place to sign that petition?
Yeah. They can go to FleshdownKateBrown.com and download the PDF. Make sure you print it on both sides, standard paper, you know. And then you can sign that, and then there's directions on the back, and you can mail that in.
All right. Cool deal. Well, we're behind you, buddy, for that. And
Thank you, Curtis.
All the best of luck. Let us know how it's going and keep us posted.
Of course.
We can keep folks posted on here, because I know we've gotten a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails on We the People about that, and going, where did this come from? That's been out of left field, and it's been a long time coming. Like, well, yeah, someone finally got the gall to stand up and do what's right. Anyway.
I'm brave.
So, yeah,
I'm
sure
a fighter.
You sure are. Well, good luck to you. And again, I appreciate
you
being on the show. And more to come when we return right here on We the People on 104.3 FM KSLM. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back, We the People. Wanted to say another thank you to Michael Cross for being with us today. Really appreciate him and the fight that he's in. You know, I definitely like to get behind a movement like that, because I believe in it. I genuinely do. And I really, really hope that it gains enough momentum to at least gain some traction and do some things there. But anyway, wanted to move on here because we only have a few segments left here in the show today. And thank you again to all of our sponsors for making it possible for us to go to a two-hour format. But I wanted to make good on a promise here and go into a couple things about Kate Brown and some things. I know we've kind of berated that here this last hour about it. But there are some specifics that are going on that just reported on the other day. Regarding some current things going on in the legislative stuff with the leaders and her plans, and honestly, I guess I just dive right into it. She basically what Kate Brown has done is she's notified recently the legislative leaders that she plans to fully or partially veto basically at least one piece of legislation passed during the 2019 session. Okay, she even her spokespeople did not. They didn't even answer questions on Tuesday about what her plans to veto and they declined even to provide a copy of the governor's veto notice. So there's a copy of a veto notice going out there that she's required to give, but her team isn't going to release that. They're not going to release that at all, but we're asking for it. We're saying, hey, we need this because we'd like to stay on the same page. Well, there are about 8 days now. August 9th coming up. For her veto deadline. Okay, here's a quote by, I wrote this down, Brown's deputy communications director, Kate Kandayan, I believe is her name. Anyway, this is a quote from an email that she'd written to her. Quote, "You're welcome to put in a records request for any relevant documentation. I would say that a veto notice would be very relevant documentation, would you not? I would think so. But Kate Kandayan or whatever her name is, I guess she really didn't realize what was going on because it is relevant information that we're asking for. But the governor and her party didn't even answer and declined to provide any information about that. This Kate Kandayan herself wouldn't do it. But a spokeswoman for Senator President Peter Courtney confirmed he had received notice from Brown that she plans to veto or, quote, line item, I guess, veto legislation passed this year. Carol McAllis-Curie, Courtney's communications director, said she didn't know what legislation Brown planned to kill. And even Danny Moran couldn't tell us anything about it. And he's a spokesperson for the House Speaker Tina Kotek out of Portland. Danny didn't even know, and he didn't even respond to a question about whether she had received the notice at all. So they've gone dark. They've gone dark on this whole thing. Where are we at with it? I have no idea. What is she going to veto? We don't even know. She's not even going to give us a chance to view this stuff. That's dangerous, in my opinion. That's dangerous. And frankly, shouldn't be allowed to happen. That should be public knowledge. Okay? Oregon's constitution requires the governor to publicly announce whether she plans to use her veto pen 5 days before doing so. Which the governor accomplishes by notifying legislative leaders. That's a thing. The Oregon Constitution is requiring her to do this. And it's now Saturday. So let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. She's got 6 more days. She's got 6 days. So she's got till tomorrow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, she's got till tomorrow. Or Monday, rather, to get this done. I don't know if she's going to do it. What are the repercussions? Wild, right? So it's crazy to me that the Constitution is requiring this of our governor, or of any governor that's ever sat there in the chair, to publicly announce whether he or she plans to use her veto executive power a whole week before actually doing it. Why? Because it lets us get ahead of it if we feel the need to get ahead of it. What the repercussions of this are, I have no idea. However, back in the summer of 2017, I believe it was, Brown actually informed legislative leaders she planned to veto two bills and line item veto four projects in a spending bill. It was her first. It was her first veto. They were her first vetoes as governor. The two bills were, I believe, House Bill I believe they were House Bill 689 and House Bill 3355, which would have allowed psychologists to prescribe drugs. And then I think it was 689 that would have extended the work of a task force examining police's affecting people who were formerly incarcerated. I believe that that's what those were. Three of the spending projects were in the district of then Republican Sal Esquivel, whom Brown actually accused later of reneging on a deal to pass a package of hospital and health insurance taxes to fund Oregon's Medicaid program. Esquivel actually, I believe Esquivel voted for the plan, but later joined an unsuccessful effort to refer it to voters. So anyway, lots of stuff going on there. Brown actually ultimately vetoed two of the three projects in Esquivel's district, opting to preserve about $1 million in state funding for the whole the Holly Theater after hearing from local supporters. So that whole thing erupted. It's not clear right now whether Brown might again have might have Republicans' priority projects in her sights. I don't know. That is, in fact, unclear. And I made several phone calls to see if we could get someone on the air with us to help explain this to us and what, if there is any insight at all into understanding what she could potentially be vetoing. And the clear truth of the matter is we have no idea, no earthly idea. We're literally riding on the seat of our pants on this one. We're going to come back and continue on with this and chat more about what's going on there. Very, very interesting stuff. And we're going to get into, you'll see, hang with me here. We're going to get into some more stuff about this when we come back with more We the People right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. Stick around. Okay, welcome back. Lots more to cover here, and I'm hoping to get this all covered in a timely manner, and please forgive me if I don't. And I can post some more of my findings on the Facebook page at Allegiance to the Flag. You can find us there. We the People right here in Salem. You can find us there. You can feel free to please email the show at allegiancetotheflag@yahoo.com. Please email the show. Please Facebook message the show as well with any questions, comments, or concerns. But like I said earlier, this whole thing goes back to Kate Brown's willingness to just flat out veto some of the things that we were working on before, the House Bill 3355 and 689 back from 2017 even, when she planned to veto. These were her first couple vetoes as governor. But right now, she could be planning to veto all kinds of stuff right now. She really could, but she's not going to give up any information right now. But she's got all of 5 days right now. So she would have to turn, and I don't know if it's days of the, if it's work days or if it's total days. I'm guessing work days. So if that's the case, she has till Monday to turn in her line item thing, her report on what she plans to veto. Now, this is a list and an itemized list on what she plans to use her veto power for. Okay. And if she doesn't, I'm honestly not sure what the repercussions are. So if you know, please let me know. Call the show 503-316-1220 and let me know. But we're just trying to stay ahead of this and stay informed, which is one of the reasons why the Oregon Constitution requires the governor to publicly announce whether she plans to use her veto pen or not. But not just whether or not he or she plans to use her veto pen, but 5 days before she even does it. And she does this by notifying legislative leaders. She does this by saying, here, guys, here's what I plan to do. I honestly don't know where to go from there. I'm up in the air because let's get real. What if she goes back in and vetoes House Bill 2020? Or not vetoes it, but, you know, reinstigates it. What if she goes back and vetoes, I don't know, some other great thing that we had in place and just decides to veto it? She can do that. And the scary version is that could affect us all inside of a week now. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening to this, producer, in the other room? Yeah, you're waving at me? Okay, listen. Are you concerned? I'm asking you right now. on the other side. Yeah, you in the glass. Yeah, Mr. Producer. Hey, how you doing? Are you alarmed? Are you concerned at all? Yeah, he's waving at me. Yeah, he's concerned. Call the show, 503-316-1220. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. If you can't get through, that's just because we had to move on or something else, but I apologize. I'll get to your calls if I can. But better to email the show, okay? Better to actually email the show, allegiancetotheflag@yahoo.com, or you can Facebook message the show. Just find us on Facebook right now, at Allegiance to the Flag, and Facebook message the show. I would love to hear from you. It's wild to me. Wild. It's not clear if she's got the Republicans' priority projects in her sights right now. It's not clear at all. Last Saturday, Kate Brown actually told a reporter for Politico that the Oregon State Republicans' quote walkout near the end of the 2019 session to kill a climate change bill, and I quote, will haunt them over the next decade. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does she have some sort of diabolical, vindictive plan to get back at them or something? I have this other question, too, that's been burning in my pocket for a little while. What else did she expect? Okay, you're a reasonable human being, okay? Let's just pretend for a minute that you're a reasonable human being and I'm a reasonable human being. What would I expect if I came up with some ludicrous, stupid bill like the cap and trade bill? 2020. That was going to raise gas prices to over $20 a gallon, murdering the backbone of our economy in this state. What would you expect as governor or as a reasonable human being? Would you expect that the good people, the good Republicans from the Oregon party and legislature would just magically show up and say, yep, here I am, ready to vote. Oh, wait, no, there's a supermajority of Democrats in the House and we can't get anything done. So if we show up, that thing's going to pass without even a question. Well, to prevent that, we're not even going to show up to, you know, we're not even going to show up. That to me makes sense. So this whole threat, it looks like a threat to me is what she's saying. She told a reporter this. I'm not making it up. She told a reporter. You can look this up. You can Google the bejeebers out of it. But last week, Governor Brown told a reporter that the Senate Republicans walk out near the end of the session to kill the climate change bill, quote, will haunt them over the next decade. Why? Why will it haunt them? Does she feel they're making a mistake? Obviously, she feels that way because she's the person that wanted to push the bill through. I get it. To build up her own coffers so that she could secure her seat, you know, in Congress or something. I truly believe that that's what she's trying to position herself. You mark my words right now, mark my words. Okay? That's exactly what she's trying to do. God forbid she end up in our Congress on a national level. God forbid. God forbid she's our governor right now. That's terrible right now. But when the same reporter asked if the governor planned to punish Republicans by vetoing legislation of importance to the GOP, she didn't respond directly at all. But instead she said, this is another quote, I will just say, revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly. I'm sorry, what? What is this woman planning to do? I have no idea. No one knows. She's not telling anybody. Is she planning to arrest someone? Is she planning to make more threats herself? Because I'll be honest, that's a pretty threatening thing if you read that how I'm reading it. That decision will haunt them over the next decade. Oh, really? Will it? Because I'll be honest, I'm not losing a wink of sleep over it. Are you? Our Republicans totally played the hand in killing that bill, which I am super grateful for and will be thanking them a decade from now. But then she goes on to say, I'll just say this. She completely circumvents the question from the reporter. And is she planning on revenge punishment, punishing the Republicans by vetoing legislation of importance to the GOP? She just circumvented the whole thing and she just said, and I quote, I will just say, space, dot, 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 or whatever. Revenge is a dish. Revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly. What the hell does that mean? Kate, Miss Brown, I respect you. I respect the position that you hold, but I am losing more and more respect for you every time I turn around. Isn't part of being the governor or in legislature part of this holistic thought of what's in the best interest of our state? Is that not what it's about? No, seriously, take a second here and just think and just sit back, put your feet up on the desk if you're listening to this or on the couch or whatever with the missus and sip your coffee and tell me that that's not the case. If you're in government, if you're in local government, don't you think that your primary job is to operate within the best interest of the state in which you govern? I don't know. Governor Brown, don't you think that whatever party you're affiliated with, don't you think you should operate with that what's in the best interest of the state in which you govern? Instead of throwing this bullarchy around? This will haunt you forever. This will haunt you for a decade. It's like she's throwing out curses or something. She's like the Wicked Witch of the West. And your little dog, too. Right? And then I'll just say this. Revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly. I don't even know what that means, man. What does that mean? I'm calling for Kate Brown to please explain herself and be really, really clear and careful with the next statements that come out of her mouth. And it's stuff like this that happens that cause me to go, man, nothing personal against you, Miss Brown. I'm sure, Governor Brown, I'm sure you're a lovely person in your personal life, but everything you say and the things that you do and the things that you're signing and potentially here, what you're about to veto just has the ability to break Oregon in half and cause nothing but discord and frustration for all of us. And all you're doing, it seems to me and to others that I know, it seems like you are selfishly positioning yourself into a seat or trying to position yourself politically into a seat in Washington, D.C. And you're literally using baloney platforms as your scapegoats, as your sacrificial lambs to the slaughter, to move right on up and out. And frankly, it's a coward's way to do it, honestly. I have nothing against her personally. It's the coward's way to do it. I'm going to create drama over here to promote discord and frustration and disorganization over here, and it's going to earn me this. Wow, aren't I something? And you have to go back and you have to make stupid threats like a completely legitimate question, by the way. Hey, Miss Brown, what do you plan to veto on? By the way, you're supposed to turn your stuff in by now so that we know what you plan to veto because the Oregon Constitution requires you to do so. How about throwing us a bone here? You know, how about throwing some milk back for us? What's the deal? And then coming back and saying, you know, the decision that you guys chose to walk out in 2019 at the end of the session will haunt you for the next decade. And then I'll just say revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly. I don't even know what that means. But if I speculate on what it means, it could mean some pretty scary things that, unfortunately, you're going to be held accountable for and you need to be. Anyway, more on that later here when we come back to finish up the show here with the last segment on We the People right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. Please stick around for this last little bit. Hang with me. Is she just as bonkers as Ocasio-Cortez? My thought is this. Yeah, she's a little older and probably wiser in some way, shape, or form. And, you know, whatever her political tenure has been up until this point. But is she Oregon's version of Ocasio-Cortez? I'll give it to her. Granted, her party's happier with her than the Democrats are in Washington, D.C. with Ocasio-Cortez. But is she any better, honestly? What has she done for Oregon? I want to know, what has she done for Oregon? Kate Brown and her governorship here so far, as we call it, has produced very little. And I say that by way of, she didn't have to campaign. She was elected interim, obviously, because she was next in line for the kingdom. But that doesn't mean anything if you're not qualified. And the poor woman is sitting there, and I have no sympathy for her. The only sympathy that I have for her is her inability to make correct decisions that affect the course of Oregon. And like I said before, and if you're just now tuning in, we've been talking about Kate Brown. We've been talking a lot about Kate Brown today, unfortunately. But we've been talking about her veto status on some things coming up that we actually don't know yet. She's supposed to turn in what she plans to veto here Monday. She's supposed to turn it in. The Oregon Constitution clearly says that anything that basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, please, Oregon Constitution, it's actually requiring the governor to publicly announce whether she plans to use her veto powers and what she plans on doing there. So we've been talking about that. We talked about her vetoing history there in 2017 with House Bill 3355 and 689, I believe it was. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe those were the ones. And all the stuff that happened with that, the veto project that she did of the three-year projects in Esquivel's district, opting to choosing to preserve about $1 million in state funding for Holly Theater and hearing from local supporters and all that stuff. Wild. Would she face some blowback from Portland of all places, if you can believe it? But yeah, so that's where we're at right now. And then if you're just tuning in, that's where we're at. And my question is, why is she doing this? And she's threatening people. So she's threatening with the decision that the Republican Senate made to walk out near the end of the 2019 session, and how, directly quoting here, how it will haunt them for the next decade, Brown says. And then later on, she goes on to tell a reporter that I'm not going to respond to your question about what I plan to veto, but I am going to plan to punish them and punish the Republicans by vetoing something. And I'm just going to say this: revenge is a dish best served cold and slowly. The woman's evil. The woman's evil. It's evil. So we're not sure what she plans to do. We're not sure where she plans to go with it from here. But I do know this, that we're not really sitting very comfortably with all this. And as of right now, my question before the break was, and I've gotten some responses back that are pretty funny that I can't read on the air, but Sherry, I hear you. Thank you for your Facebook message there. I appreciate that. And I agree with you. And your opinion's valid, but let's try to keep it clean. And then Sam, I also agree with you too, sir, but a little bit of a different issue there regarding the GOP and how that's funded. I think what the point, Sam, that you were trying to make here in your message was that she could use the funding to destabilize the GOP and cause dissension and better position herself, which that could be possible. I don't think it's really relevant right here of what we're talking about, but I hear you. I just want you to know that I hear you, Sam. But I believe truly what she's trying to do here, and I stated this before for the record, and I'll state it again, it's fine in case you're just tuned in and listening. I believe wholeheartedly, and there's a track record forming here, if you believe in track records, there's a track record forming here, that what Kate Brown is doing is she is positioning herself and taking these stances in order to position herself politically in such a way that makes her look really, really, really good to our nation's Congress. I believe that she's trying to go for a seat in D.C., now, which seat, I don't know, but I believe that, you know, she's probably going for a seat in Congress. Maybe she thinks, hey, if Ocasio-Cortez can do it, I've got a great shot at doing it. So that's what led me to ask the question: Is Kate Brown Oregon's version of Ocasio-Cortez? And honestly, I think her party is happier with her than Ocasio-Cortez's party is with her. But nonetheless, if Ocasio-Cortez can be in government, so could Kate Brown. And that really is a fearful, frightening rhetoric to me in my brain. So anyway, I just felt like unloading all that on you today. Sorry. But that's where we're at right now. So as of right now, we don't know what she plans to veto. I know she's got a few days left. She doesn't have any days left in order to turn that in. She's got tomorrow. And if it's on a weekly Monday through Friday calendar, she's got till Monday to announce what she plans on doing. And I, for one, will be waiting on bated breath. because based on some of the threats, I'll call them threats, that she's made here now to the Republican Party and in the Republican legislature, because of the walkout that they did, which, by the way, was amazing. And I'm super proud of our Republican folks for doing that. Saved our bacon, saved our local economy's bacon. But, you know, we don't know what she's going to do. And she could really, really pull some scary stuff. But she's been making some threats, I'll say. Yes, I believe that they're threats. And what she plans to do next will be very, very telling. Should she, and this is a scary version now, should she be in office again for another 3 years? Do you want that? I don't want that. But if we don't stand up and take notice and say something, that's a very real possibility. You understand? Super real. And for one, it scares the hell out of me. And that's really the reason why I'm behind a movement like Oregon First PAC for such a time as we're aligned right now. Hear me clearly there. For such a time as we're aligned right now, I am behind the recall movement for Kate Brown, to recall Kate Brown. Is there a chance of success with it? Yes, absolutely there is. Do I think it can get done? Yes, with enough signatures, yes. Would I love for you to go to flush down Kate Brown and print out the PDF and sign it and send it in? Yes, please. I would. Go to the Facebook page. Hashtag investigate Kate. And you know, I'm not always going to be endorsing movements like this, but in this specific case, in this particular instance, I don't know that I'm comfortable with her being governor for another 3 years. Where will we be in 3 years as a state if Kate Brown is allowed to continue? The scary version is I have no idea. It's kind of bleak right now. If you look at it, the Democrats have a supermajority right now in the House. And she does not have any fear in waving the veto pen at all. I don't know. I'm up in the air about it. I'll keep praying about it, I guess. And, you know, speaking out like this that we are, you know, this is a great platform for you to have your voice heard as well as mine. It's not just me. It's you, too. And we are in this together, and we need to band together. We need to stand up and speak out and combat this thing, because if we just roll over, play dead, and let this thing roll all over us, we're going to regret it. You know, I'm sorry, but I kind of agree with what Michael said earlier in the last hour. We deserve the government that we get. If we're not willing to fight, if we're not willing to stand up and speak and work hard to promote change, well, what the hell are we doing? We're just letting it roll over, letting apathy take effect? No. Anyway, something to think about. Please write the show at allegiancetotheflag@yahoo.com. allegiancetotheflag@yahoo.com. Please add Allegiance to the Flag on Facebook page. It's We the People's Facebook page. Just look us up, please. Message the show. Let me know what your thoughts are. And, you know, we'll come back and talk more about stuff next time when we return on We the People right here on 104.3 FM KSLM. I'm Curtis Crittenden. Thank you so much for listening, and I will touch bases with you later. Have a good night.